Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second week of Australian Survivor Exit Interviews. I'm Nick Ardanza, your know-it-alls, and I am here to bring you two awesome interviews with two characters who not only were the personification of Australiana, but two really, really interesting characters who had quite a lot to say in their exit interviews, a lot of cool insights and a lot of fun as well. So before we get to that, if you haven't checked out our recap with Dez, Icon Dez, it was absolutely hilarious. I want you to check that out. That was great. And yeah, same last week with Rob, that was even better. And I just think that we are off to a real cracker start with not only the season, but with the podcast as well. So thank you, everyone who's checked it out. Can I ask a big favor? If you go onto iTunes, can you give us the star rating, five-star ratings, if you've enjoyed what you've heard, because it just helps more people find the podcast. And then head on over to Twitter and follow me at Nick Ardanza or Instagram. Why not both? I'm one of those people that I follow a lot of people on Twitter because it's like, okay, I follow you for Survivor things. And then you follow them and you realize that they start talking about all these other random things. And it's like, I just want Survivor stuff. Well, that's what you get with me. I only tweet about Survivor. It's pretty sad, but head on over and follow me. I've really enjoyed chatting with you guys about the season so far and hearing your hot takes as well. So here's the first interview with Tarzan, and I think you're going to enjoy it. All right, on the line, we have our latest evictee, our latest boot off of Survivor Season 2, Australian Survivor, the incomparable Tarzan. Tarzan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, mate.
I wish we were talking later on in the season because I wanted to watch you a little bit longer, but I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on, but thank you for really just adding a lot of spice, I think, to the first few episodes. And I think the episode where you went home was an absolute ripper. And I just wonder, how are you feeling after all? We've had a few days since it's aired now. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Well, mate, I felt terrific on the show and I still feel terrific now I'm home.
Yep, good. Do you want to just explain to the listeners, like, what was your motivation for going out there? Like, was it because you were a fan? Was it your family? What was it?
I think the biggest motivation, Nick, was probably, you know, a desire to always have been on the show. Like, you know, I've lived long enough to have been since it started.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd always see it, you know, the American one more so, isn't it, you know? And it's just a thrilling thing to look at, you know, and everyone watches it and thinks they can do it better. So my family encouraged me to have a crack at it, and I did, and no regrets.
Excellent. Well, look, you were great on the show, and I want to kind of drill down into some of the more strategic moments or just some of the group dynamics, because that's kind of the stuff that the listeners are interested in. So I just want to go back to the night that you were voted out. You said in an exit interview that you knew you were going home. Can you just quickly walk us through how that happened? So you show the idol to Tessa and AK, and then what was the rest of that afternoon like?
Well, it was pretty heated, and a lot of the things. And they look, Channel 10 edited that show. I'd have to say, mate, it's brilliant work. You know, they really capture the essence of it. But as you know, you don't see everything, do you?
Yeah, definitely not.
No. So what the viewers don't get to see is some of the other stuff that happened in regard to me and AK. It sort of got a little bit heated between me and AK, and I'm pretty confident that the beans got spilt, you know, about the intent to get rid of Lockie and that sort of thing. So going into the tribal council, I was pretty confident my day was up. You know, it was very evident to me, you know, through things that were said, and I'd already given Tessa the idol, and you know, I was never going to ask for it back, and you know, I wouldn't have even blamed her if she said no anyway. but the reality was is that I really had no doubt in my mind I was going.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's why you voted for Tessa. I've heard you say that it was a vote of confidence. Mm. What does that mean? Yeah, is that so you just wanted to so you get a chance to say good luck to her in the voting booth? Or? Mm.
I think so, Nick. I think the reality of like the way I am as a person, you know, I mean, I'm happy to roll with the punches. I think there was a few things said. I think you remember in the editing, Annalise said something about voting for her. I said, I promise I won't vote for you, Annalise.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, tonight. Yeah. And I did it. And when I went up to do my vote, it was a bit of a kick in the head, you know, for some of them, because I got up there and, you know, you're supposed to be nice and quiet when you deliver your speech about. Well, mine was kind of at the top of my voice saying, good on you, Tess. Go for gold. You know, that sort of thing. It was like, yep, I'm out. Mm. So it sort of played out, I think, the way I intended.
Sure. So one of the things, when you were looking for the idol and when you found it, how long did it take you to decide that you were actually going to give it to Tessa? Was there any thought, you know, that devil on your shoulder that was like, oh, I might keep it for myself?
No, I think at that stage too, probably the main thing, and through my whole game over the 11 days, I had no fear about ever going home until that day. And because I knew I was of use to the camp, like you don't see a lot of it, but every day, you know, I kept that fire going 24 hours a day. You know, I was up in the middle of the night every night, keeping it going. So they, you know, my tribe mates appreciated the fact, I think, you know, to the point of where they go, well, we've got a sucker who's keeping the fire going. Let's keep him in there. So I never had any, you know, anticipation of going at any stage until that day.
Sure. So just going back to the idol really quickly, would you have thought to look for the idol had Tessa not prompted you on that day where she came to you on the beach? Was that something that was on your radar as a player of the game?
Yeah, look, when I used to wander around, one of the things you didn't see in the edit was Lockie actually saying in the tribal council was that he actually said, you know, when Tarzan was out there, we always thought he was just fishing. You know, or scrounging for coconuts. We never suspected for a minute that Tarzan was actually playing the game.
Yeah.
So the reality was, is I never stopped playing. I just wasn't very vocal about it, and I wasn't trying to make, you know, any stronger alliances because I knew I was relatively safe up until that time. But no, look, when I went looking for that idol, it was completely to find it for Tess. That was it. I had no intention of ever keeping it for myself.
Well, you're a better man than me, Tarzan. You're a better man. But I have to say, do you know that you and I, we have something in common.
Do we, mate?
The tree that you found your idol in, there is a scene the night before I'm voted off for the first time where I stick my hand right in that same hole and I go to pull it out and the music swells like I'm going to find an idol. And then nothing comes out. So I would like to say that maybe I gave the show the idea to stick one right in that hole. And so hopefully I'm glad that I was able to help you out in some way.
Well, good on you, mate. I used to look in that tree every day for crabs. There's another scene that didn't get played out, but I found a nice crab in that tree one day, and I took him back and cooked it up for the campers. But So I just instinctively went back to that was the first point of call. I thought, well, I better get off my bum and go and have a look for this thing because she was really worried she was going to get sent home that night. And I thought, well, go and have a look. And I honestly walked straight up to that tree, had a bit of a look, bang, there it was. And as I said, you know, I've done a bit of metal detecting, mate, and that was better than finding gold.
Tarzan, people search their entire Survivor career across multiple seasons for idols and never find them. I think you put them to shame.
Is that right?
You put them to shame just then. Can I talk to you about the cookie dilemma there? Some people were confused. Yeah. Some of the viewers were confused because it seemed like in your rules it said that you couldn't share them, but then we see Jericho on the other side sharing them. Was that a miss? Did you misinterpret the rules or did you just
No. Yep. Yeah, no, it looked, the rules specifically said I could take the cookies and I had to hide them and I could eat them myself, or I could take the wood and share it with the tribe. And so that is exactly what it said. And that was my dilemma. And that's what I got a bit emotional about, because I thought, well, you know, that to me is like a clear sign of betraying everybody in the tribe, even Tess. Like, I mean, I felt like, well, geez, at least I could have shared them with her, but no, you had to keep them and hide it somewhere. But look, in saying that, I think the best thing in the world that happened was that buddy Derek out there found that cookies and did the exact opposite.
It did make for good TV to see that complete, you know, one person doing it on one side, one person doing it on the other. So, yeah, I was wondering what you thought of that.
Yeah, and the fact that he, you know, professes to be a terrific Christian. So, and no disrespect to that, because at the end of the day, he is playing the game.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. We don't have that much time left, but, you know, this whole idea of last year's Australian Survivor was this idea of mateship and you know, what does it mean to be loyal? And a lot of the fans kind of pushed back against that because that's not Survivor, they believe. And I think that, and look, I was one of those, but I believe that what you did, Mark, that was so great is that you were just yourself, but you never really pushed your values down anyone else's throat, as far as we could see on the TV show. So I want to thank you for letting people know that those Australian values can exist. You can also play the game as well. So, thanks for that. I think that's a nice little thing to be remembered by.
Well, that's right. And I did play it as I live. And the reality was I was still happy to play. Like, I was happy to get rid of Lockie. Don't get me wrong. You know, if we could have got rid of him that night, we'd have been rejected all the way home, I can tell you. But it wasn't to be. And, you know, in my book, mate, look, for me, I think the greatest thing, even last night I had a discussion with some of your fellow teammates there. Everyone has regrets when they come out of that show, you know, that they weren't in long enough or they, you know, didn't play it quite as well as.
You there?
For me, it was a great run. I enjoyed myself, and I thought I played sort of both sides of the fence, the villain and the hero. And I just had a blast.
Well, that leads me to my last question, Tarzan. Would you do it again?
Oh, when are we going?
Ah, there we go. That's all we like to hear. Well, Tarzan, Mark, thank you so much for coming on. You were an absolute joy on the show. And, thank you so much. Stay in touch, and I hope you enjoy watching the rest of the season unfold.
Yes, thanks, mate. I've really had a great time. And look, you know, for what it's worth, to everyone who's supported me since I got off the show, mate, they're absolutely terrific. You know, I was in Brisbane today. Mate, I couldn't walk 20 feet without getting pulled up for a selfie. I'm a winner chicken dinner, mate. It's made my day, I can tell you.
Well, we'll look out for you on the cover of like Cosmo or something like that in the coming days. with a face like that, Mark, you're going to be beating them off with a stick.
Oh, geez, mate. Thanks for that, Nick. And look, I can't wait till we meet in person, and I'm sure we'll get on like a house on fire.
Excellent. Save a beer for me then. Look forward to it, mate.
Good on you, Nick. Thanks for ringing, mate.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
All right, everybody. That was Tarzan, and I thought that was such a good interview. I loved chatting with him, and I just think he's just a genuine nice guy, and I think that did not get lost in the edit, and I don't think it was overblown in the edit. He just came across as a really good bloke. So from one good bloke to another good Aussie character, our top Sheila, Amy. Here's my chat with Amy. All right, on the line we have someone who I am equal parts excited and equal parts devastated to talk to. It is our latest boot from the island, Amy. Amy, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. How are you today?
I am great because I get to chat to you, but I got to say, I'm spewing.
I'm spewing too, Nick. Don't worry.
For our American listeners out there, can you just explain what spewing means? Because they might not know.
Spewing is short for spewing, which means you're just shattered.
Yeah.
Gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it apart from spewing.
Well, one of the other words that was used to describe you, you know, a real top Sheila. What are the qualities that you need? What is a real top Sheila? Like, that's a real Australianism. What does that mean? Tell our viewers.
Well, originally it started from being a top bloke.
Yep.
And I kind of put a swing on things to make it into a female. And being a real top, Sheila just consists of being down to earth, not really caring about much, and just always being positive and having a good time.
Well, Amy, you're all those things. And that definitely came through on the TV. So thanks for joining us. I want to run through a few questions because I feel like there's a lot we need to get to, a lot we need to understand about your game because you were taken from us too soon. Too soon.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
I want to know, did you push for the flip on AK or did you just go along with it because Tara was pushing? Who was the instigator, do you believe?
Look, I think everyone was starting to think AK is actually really smart. After the whole chicken idol thing, we're like, oh my God, we need to get rid of him. But Tara is such a smart girl and it was her idea and we're all like, oh, is it too soon to make these big moves? But in the end, it's never too soon to make a big move if it's needed. But I think we were just that bit too late with deciding to get rid of AK and they'd already put my head on the chopping block.
Yep, they were ready. What was your final group? Like, what was your plan? Like, say you had made it to the end. With the people in Samatau, what was your plan moving forward?
Well, obviously you don't get to see everything and it's edited, you know, like of not course, everything yeah. gets thrown yeah. in. But it was originally myself, Lockie, Tara and Peter. And obviously Peter started to feel a bit on the edge that Tara was getting closer to Lockie, but it wasn't like that at all. We were like, yes, us three to the end with Petey. And we obviously didn't make him feel comfortable enough, which is a real shame. But, yeah, these things happen, I suppose. And they did well for tricking me because they fooled me.
So do you feel that what you said at Tribal Council, do you know how you kind of like everyone was kind of pussyfooting around the idea and you just kind of blurted out that there was, you know, that the votes were going to be switched up that night. Do you feel like that had any impact on people's votes or do you think that it was already done and dusted at that point?
Honestly, I've seen a lot of people say if Amy didn't say that and open her big mouth, Peter would have voted for AK or whatever. But no, it wasn't that way at all. From the challenge onwards, they were talking about making a big move in its time. And they knew me, Lockie and Tara were pretty close. So I don't reckon it changed anything. And I'm glad I got it out there. Like, I just tell it how it is. And that's how it was. So,
Amy, I hear you sitting in Tribal Council. And for all the listeners out there who haven't played, it's really annoying. It's so annoying because you know what's happening and everyone kind of knows what's happening and everyone's putting up this huge smoke screen and it's all smoke and mirrors and it can just get really frustrating. So when you just kind of came out and said it, I was laughing. I loved that. That was really good. And I think that shows that, like you said before, you don't take things too seriously. You just get straight to the point. So well done.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Yeah, I had to get it out there.
Do you think that people underestimate you?
Depends which way. As like a player, I obviously, because I got quite a loud and outgoing personality, which you didn't really see much of on the show because I wasn't too involved in the strategic game at the start. My plan was to kind of lay low and kind of, you know, be everyone's bitch and do what they say. Like, come on, it worked for Christy last season. So I thought I'd give it a crack. But I just became too close to some people in the game and that's one thing you don't want to do is become good mates with someone. But in the end, it's a lot harder to break off friendships in Survivor than like, I don't know, I always put friends before the game and stuff and that's where I went wrong.
I think it just shows how it's such a messed up game, isn't it? It's such a cooked game that like you're supposed to be close to people but not too close. You're supposed to be distant to people but not too distant. And I just think people don't underestimate just how difficult it is. You talk about how you wanted to lay low. How in the hell can you lay low with that jumper? Tell us the story.
How good is that jumper? I was actually, I wanted to bring another jumper on. It had Russell Coit holding a BB and it said Australia.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I wasn't allowed to bring that one on. I don't know. Russell Coit sued me or something. I don't know. But I have so many crazy jumpers like that. probably wasn't the best idea. It didn't keep me the warmest. And same with probably not the best idea to wear like half a t-shirt and half a pair of shorts on the first day. But that's the other thing. I'm a bit of a rookie.
You're grossly underprepared. Well, Amy, when you go back, when you get invited back one day, you can right those wrongs and you can see if you can sneak your Russell Coit jumper in. For all the American listeners who don't know who Russell Coit is, you need to YouTube him right now because he's an Australian icon. Amy, I need to get a little bit of a sense of what was the dynamic like about, what were people thinking moving forward? Was there ever talk of like a swap coming up or a merge? We know that last season, the first swap that occurred was with me on day 12. You got voted out on day 12, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So did anyone think that something like that was coming? Was that discussed?
Literally. That and food was all we talked about. Every day we talked, yep, there's going to be a swap today. Yep, there's going to be a merge. They're going to put us in three tribes or mix it all up.
Yep.
And it kept going and going. And, well, I was there anyway. It just didn't happen. And we're like, oh, well.
Yeah.
So it was definitely on the cards. We all thought it was.
Yeah. Well, they always keep you on your toes. What about idols, Amy? Did you ever look for idols at all? Was that something that was on your radar or not?
Not really at that point in the game because, as I said, I was oblivious. All the super fans are going to hate me, let's be honest, but whatever. But, like, people came up to me, like Ziggy, and everyone would just come up to you and be like, oh, yeah, we want to work with you and Lockie. We want to work with you and Lockie. And when people say these things, like apart from AK, it's hard not to believe because they haven't broken your trust in any other way until that night they booted me. So, I didn't go look for idols, and it would have been hard to look for idols because AK and Adam were looking for idols like the whole time.
They'd already torn up the whole island.
Yeah, like once I was getting firewood and I walked past AK like in a tree and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm fishing. I'm like, you're in a tree, AK. Like,
you're a goose, mate. You're a goose, mate.
Oh, no, I love him though. Like, he's great.
I want you to settle something once and for all. Can you do this for me? Can you tell me, did Tara flip or was it no flip?
Well, look, it was a bit confusing, wasn't it? Because she said she flipped and then she's like, she didn't flip. Honestly, what happened? Adam was like, yes, come across. Basically, if you don't come across, you're out kind of thing. And Tara doesn't like getting bossed around. And so she didn't want to be in that alliance. So she's like, yes, I'm out. But in the end, I don't know why people are so focused on Tara flipping when you see like people like, for instance, sorry, Ziggy, bloody love you. But Ziggy was in the alliance with Adam and then she went to the alliance with us and then went to the alliance. Like, everyone's flipping.
Yeah.
And that's a game. There's nothing wrong with flipping.
I think what I learned is the more that you try and protest against something, the more people want to prove you wrong. And I think that that's maybe what's happening with Tara at the moment. Amy, a couple of really, really, really quick questions before we have to go. How long was it until you got your pot and your Palmer? And for American listeners, a pot is not weed. It's nothing like that. It's a pot is a beer. How long did it take you till you got your beer?
The moment I got home. So I think I got home from Samoa and then went straight to the pub, got it, and it was just the greatest. I'm like, oh, getting voted off isn't that bad.
Tell me about it. What's next for you, Amy? Yeah. Are you, I know you camp all around Australia. Any plans to walk to Adelaide on a dare? Because I don't know if people know this, but you walked from, what was it, Sydney to Canberra? Is that right?
Melbourne to Canberra
on a dare. Anything like that coming up in the future?
I have a van that I've turned into a camper van named Sharon. So I'm going to take Sharon around Australia and, try and see a lot. I want to do this thing like 100 pubs in 100 days around Australia. But, we'll just see what happens.
Amy, that is the most Australian thing and a perfect way to end the podcast. Thank you so much for what you provided. I think there was still more left in the tank, but thank you. And I just want you to know that while you're on the show, you were an absolute cracker. You were a real top Sheila.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nick. You've been great.
All right, Amy. I will speak to you soon. Stay in touch. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. Bye, Nick.
All right, everybody, that was Amy, and I absolutely loved chatting with her. She is a barrel of laughs and just, I think, someone who is a really unique Survivor player and a unique Survivor character, and I wish we got to see more of her. So that'll be it for today. Thank you so much for checking these out. Let me know what you thought. Hit me up on Twitter, and I will be back next week with even more juicy info from the islands of Samoa. Thank you so very much, guys, and have a good week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.